On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, we look at some Raiders trade rumors as we're coming up to the trade deadline November 1st. We explore why the Raiders defense is just so awful, and we do a Raiders versus Texans preview. And we love when you subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. The Raiders!
Caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto. Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. Abu Dhabi edition of the Autumn Windbags.
Abu Dhabi.
I am currently sitting on Yaz Island in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates for working UFC 280 this weekend.
United Arab Emirates.
United Arab Emirates. How now, Brown Cow. UFC 280 going down this Saturday. And even if you're not a UFC fan, this is a card of the year. I highly recommend. Before you watch football on Sunday, you spend Sunday night watching two title fights. Sean O'Malley against the toughest opponent he's ever faced. Really good lightweight contest. And arguably, Charles Oliveira versus Islam Makhachev is arguably like the best pure X's and O's fight you can make in mixed martial arts. So
it's a great fight.
That's why I'm here. That's why I have this weird bluish hue, because I'm using the lighting in my hotel room in Abu Dhabi.
How bad?
Yeah, it's not really showing my natural glistening look that I'm used to.
Oh, is that it?
So I apologize. Yeah, it's the bluish hue of my balls preseason.
I don't want to hear about that.
I had a bluish hue earlier. Nobody wants to hear that. So, quick update. Last show, in real time, my wife was texting me, who was in Vegas working, that she was at the same restaurant as Mark Davis. Mark Davis was sitting behind her. And I shared it. I shared the photos last show. I talked to her afterwards, and she went up and like just chatted with him for a little bit. And she said, "Oh, by the way, my husband has a podcast." He's like, "Oh, what's it called?" And she said, "The Autumn Windbags." Stop fucking with your mic right now. What are you
Sorry.
Doing? I'm telling a story.
I apologize.
What you do pre-show. I'm in the middle of my Mark Davis. Show some respect for Mr. Davis.
My apologies, Mr. Davis and his bowl cut. Please continue. Okay. My apologies.
So he asked her, "What's the name of the podcast?" She said, "The Autumn Windbags." And she said he cracked up laughing and said that was a great name of a show. So we got the approval of the Raiders owner.
Did she slip him a freaking invite to the show?
Whatever it takes. If she needs to slip whatever to get him on the show, we'll do But for those who don't know, like that was so the whole premise of the show is you, me, and Rory have had a Raiders text chain for like 5 years, and we're like, why don't we just turn this into a podcast? And we were kind of like debating it. And then once you came up with the name, the Autumn Windbags, I was like, okay, that's it. We got to use that. The name's gold. And that's the validation that we needed for the name pick.
Yeah, I mean, he liked it.
Yeah.
He likes it. I love it.
There you go. Works for me. All right. Question of the day. Raiders are off their bye week into week seven. They got the Texans at home. So what's your score prediction for Texans Raiders on Sunday? We'll do a full breakdown of the matchup later in the show, but curious what your score predictions are for Sunday's game. The NFL like panel, you know how they do like the breakdowns, NFL Network and on YouTube. Mm-hmm. All 12 of them pick the Raiders to win.
That's terrible.
I don't know if that's a
it's not good.
A jinx, a reverse jinx, or exactly how that works. But both teams are 1-4, but one of them feels like a really, really trash 1-4, and one of them feels like, all right, they're a good team, but they're still 1-4.
Oh man, I don't like that. I don't like that shit at all.
But Raiders are minus 7 point spread.
We are not going to look. I'm not going to turn this into something that it's not, but I will tell you this: under our starting quarterback, we are not good when we're that big of favorites. Mm-hmm. We're just not. We come out flat. He comes out flat. Just not good. I am very concerned because of history. regarding this, but I still think we're going to win.
I was going to say, this is your chance to put your negative Nancy boots to good, where you can get, like, are you going to predict that the Raiders lose? Because
I'll tell you what, that seven is, I mean, I may maybe buy a half a point and tease the other way, because that seven's a big number, man.
Yeah.
It's a big number, especially for how we've been playing.
All right. Well, what's your prediction? What's your score prediction?
27-24, something like that.
Okay.
24-20. It's going to be closer than people think. And it's just, they don't have a lot of, the Texans don't have a lot of explosion on their mm-hmm. team, but they do have a couple of solid offensive pieces, which they play a lot how we play. They play behind their running game and they take shots. So our defense, we'll talk about it later, but our defense can give up long drives. So I don't see a lot of possessions. That's why I don't see a really high score, but I see the scores ending up in, the drives ending up in points both ways.
I'm saying blowout Texans 17.
You're such a fucking homer.
Raiders 34.
You love pandering to these fans. You love pandering.
I'm telling you, dude, like, with how good our run offense is and how bad, we'll get to the breakdown later, but like, our run offense is firing and their run defense is trash. And if they start playing from behind, we're going to get to our defense here in a little bit. This might be the defense's chance to, like, all right, like, they're getting real desperate. Like, if we get, this is, you know, we've been getting leads before, but we've gotten leads against, you know, the Chiefs, and like, they can always come back. Titans aren't great, but like, they're better offensively than the Texans. But
they're,
like,
built very similar. I'm telling you that right now. And I'm telling Brandon Cooks is any better than anything they have over in Tennessee.
Yeah. But you know who's throwing to him? David fucking Mills, who is absolutely awful. So if we get up like 14, Tannehill's Joe Montana compared to Mills. Like, that's how, dude, Mills is awful. So if we get ahead, right? So if we get like a 2-touchdown lead early, and they like, all right, we got to put in the hands of Mills, that's a recipe. You can acknowledge a 14-point lead is a pretty good recipe for a blowout, right?
Or at least of course, it's a recipe for a blowout, but you have to take a look at our defense and how we've played. We've let people back in the game. Our offense stops scoring, and our defense lets people back in the games.
If we let David Mills take over this game and come back,
like, still this a professional, is, man. He still gets paid, bro. He's not terrible.
He is terrible. He is awful. He's the worst quarterback the Raiders will play this year. Right?
Oh, not Russell. Have you seen Russell? You seen Russell play? You seen Ruffle?
Ruffle. And what happened, right? That was a comfortable lead. So there you go, right? He's at worst the second worst quarterback that the Raiders will play this season.
Look, I don't want it to happen. I would love
nothing more than for fucking Russell Wilson to be the worst quarterback we play this season. That would bring so much joy to my heart if the Broncos trade for a 9-time Pro Bowler.
Pay him $250 million and he's a fucking shit stain.
They trade an entire draft class for him, $250 million, and he's the worst quarterback the Raiders play in 17 games. Don't make a losing season worth it.
They trade, like, I don't know how many first-round picks. They trade a fucking backup quarterback that was serviceable. They trade their best offensive weapon, and they get back Ruffle. And they pay him $250 million. Oh, my God.
So I'm saying we score 4 touchdowns, 2 field goals, hold them to 17. They're forced to play out of themselves. And
I love it.
Most comfortable when they're also coming off a bye. So we'll get a bigger breakdown as the game goes on. But here's your question of the day. Leave your answer down in the comment section. We'll pin this question. What's your score prediction for Texans Raiders on Sunday? Very curious. Are you going to be like negative Nancy's like Soto and find this a reason to complain? Or are you going to be like, look, we got a recipe for something awesome?
First off, I'm not complaining. What I'm saying is I'm going off of our performance and what I know and how Houston plays. It's going to be
terrible.
It's not going to be a lot of possessions because we can be a quick strike team, but I don't think they have a secondary as poor as
their KC's. Secondary is their strength. Their secondary is their strength.
That's the thing is we're not going to get those deep balls against
them. They're young, but that's if there's one strength of this team, it's there.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is we're not going to get those quick strikes against them. We're going to have to move the ball down the field, so that's going to shorten the amount of possessions. That's why I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. Plus, our defense cannot get off the fucking field. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying is they play how we play. They play off of the running game, which is good. I mean, Pierce is a good back.
David Mills.
He doesn't have to do a lot, man. 17, 20 throws.
Mills. Anyway. So we talked last show about what do we do with Josh Jacobs, right? Because he's playing so great, which is awesome, which is what we want. But now it's like, do we pay him when the season's over? When didn't do the option? Do we just let him go? Do we trade him now? According to ESPN, it's the other two first-rounders from that draft class that should be talking about. ESPN did a talk about some potential moves with the trade deadline coming up on November 1st. And they're saying, speaking of Ziegler, it's no secret he has worked to shed players from the Mike Mayock regime. A few players to watch are a pair of 2019 first-rounders, defensive lineman Clay Farrell, safety Jonathan Abram.
I'm going to keep calling him Clay.
I'm told Vegas has had talks with teams on both players in recent months, and Abram's name circling a lot. Last week against the Chiefs, Abram played 54 snaps compared to 69 apiece for safeties Daron Harmon, Trevon Merrig. And this is a quote from an NFC executive. The Raiders are trying to start new with players who fit their personality. They've been pretty aggressive in that. Trade rumors for a couple of first-rounders, Soto. What do you make of it?
If we can get a 5 and a 7 for those guys, I would be fucking flabbergasted. Mm-hmm. If you need defensive line depth and you have solid defenders who can give Clay Farrell some nice matchups, he can be a good he's a good run stopper. He can be a good player for you. He's a big athletic guy. Abram, you got to be able to cover. I understand putting him in positions to do what he does best, but you've got to be able to cover in the NFL if you're in the secondary, and he just can't do it. So we'll have to figure out maybe if there's a team that has a better secondary overall that can maybe cover for him a little bit. But he could be a tool to a defense that can make up for his deficiencies. So there, he does have some value.
Has he been a big liability in coverage this season?
The whole secondary has been bad, dude. I mean, Merrig was exposed against the Chiefs. Merrig is much better in space, being a freaking freeze, like a center fielder type of thing. Yeah. But when he has to cover, he's not great, man.
He's built for as a Gus Bradley type free safety. Yeah. Right? Just kind of over the top, be a center fielder. You know, part of it's like, all right, he's going against arguably the best offense in football, right? Chiefs. So it's like, you know, you're going up against, you know, the heavyweight champion and he got knocked out, right?
Is that an exposed
or is that just he's just nowhere near as good to cover the best offense in football? Is that considered being exposed? I don't think I think he's just not as good as the Chiefs offense.
Well, I mean, at least have some back and forth. I mean, he was just getting toasted left and right when he was in the middle of the field, when they were able to bracket and do those types of things. Yeah, he did a better job, but when you have to. You know, cover quick, and you can't just play the deep middle, and you have to run up on the line of scrimmage and cover people. He didn't do good, man.
I think the Raiders can get something out of Abram. I'm certainly well documented. I'm higher on him than you are because he is such a great run stopper. Like, he was second in the team in tackles last season. Like, that is a lot of valuable tackles at the line of scrimmage that he gets, and I think he's improved as a pass as a, you know, pass protector. Not good.
He's still bad, but he's a lot better than he used to be.
He's not the full liability he was last year.
He's just a partial liability, not a full liability.
And I think that there's going to be a few GMs that can see that in him. Can be like, all right, you know, winter football's coming up, playoff football's coming up. We're gonna start playing in cold weather, more run games. We can use a safety that can come down to that line of scrimmage and like lay a hat on, you know, some big bruising running back, which is what he can do, and he can blitz well and other stuff. So I think there's a lot more value in Abram with what he's capable of. Just how, you know, is someone gonna trade for that contract too, right? Like, are they gonna trade him for just like the end of this year? Are they gonna trade him, give him a new contract, right? So he's getting first round, you know, fourth year first round money. So they got to put that into consideration as well.
Well, along the lines of his contract, though, if you're traded as a first rounder, you already know where your value is around the league. Okay, yeah. So you're not going to ask for premium. This team drafted me first round money. You're going to be like, all right, well, you're just a guy now. You're a Jag, just a guy.
Yeah.
So that's going to come into play too. Come contract time.
The irony is, like, the two players they mentioned aren't the one that we've been talking about of the first rounders from 2019. That's Josh Jacobs. Like, I think he's the one where you'd get something. Like, you're going to get really, truly something other than just like, all right, let's just squeeze as much juice as we can out of Farrell. Jacobs is the one you're like, oh, let's get let's trade for like a really good corner that we desperately need, or a decent right tackle that we've been looking for. Like, you could turn Jacobs into into personnel.
JC Horn, is he available? That's the first thing I thought of.
You can turn Josh into some shit, right?
Dude, fucking Christian McCaffrey's on the block. He's fucking being shopped. Robbie Anderson got shipped. JC Horn is probably their next best player. So we need help in the secondary. Our secondary is not good. It just isn't. So we need better players, and he's an upgrade to everything we have.
I think it all comes down, like, it's weird because the trade deadline's November 1st. So we've got one more game to see where they're at. So, like, if we lose to the Texans, right? Like, we lose to, like, on paper, the worst team in football.
Jesus fucking
then Christ. It's like, all right, we're bailing on this season, right? Trade Jacobs right away. Like, trade everyone that's not going to contribute next year out of here. Because now it's like, all right, now we got to – we're working towards next year, right? We're not even thinking about this year.
Start feeding Hummer and start feeding Waller and get their trade value up. Mm-hmm. Because I said it before, the way that we're going, the way that our offense is moving, we don't need to pay three freaking receiving targets like we're paying them. If we're going to run the ball primarily, we need to reinforce that offensive line, and we got to use that money from those targets to do it.
Well, I think Josh McDaniels still has an eye for the type of offense that he wants, and it is a Devontae Waller Renfro type offense. It's just not clicking now, and the run game is. So I still think the goal next season is to make this what we all thought it could be with this type of personnel, which is more time to get the offense going. So I wouldn't go that far, but as far as like bailing on the season and let's get what we can out of guys that won't be contributing next year, that's what we do, which is tough because I wish obviously you want to play a bad team and get a win when you're 1-4, but I almost wish Sunday's game was like a slightly above average team where if we get blown out, you're like, okay,
we know where we are.
And if we win, we're like, okay, like these four losses, they have all been one possession losses, right? Like it's true, right? Like we're not getting destroyed. We're getting big leads, blowing it. We're giving up big leads, almost coming back. Like, okay, like we have something here. Just in coin flip situations, we keep coming up tails when it's supposed to be heads. So,
we're not getting blown out, but yeah, that's a tough one. But you have to take a look at the temperature of the league too. There's like two teams in the NFL, three teams that are primarily pass oriented, that are successful. I mean, there's the Bills, the Chiefs.
Count the Bucks.
They're not being successful. They're 3-3. They look like shit. They lost to the fucking Pittsburgh, one of the worst teams in the league. That's what I'm saying. It's like you have to take a look at what's going on in the league right now and what defenses are being able to stop. And it's look at Aaron Rodgers. They're not running the ball. They're playing like shit. With Aaron fucking Rodgers. Oh, yeah, the Chargers. They're what, 3-3-2 or 4-2?
4-2, right?
So, yeah, so those are three teams that are being successful, being primarily pass-oriented. The other teams that are, doing well in the league, they're running the ball, man. They're running the ball, and they're going behind that run.
Which should up Abrams' trade value, right? If you're looking for like a run stopping type box safety, people are looking to stop the run. It should be, Denzel Perryman. If we get blown out on Sunday, right? We gave up on the season. Like Perryman's a fine run stopping, Pro Bowl run stopping linebacker,
amazing run stopper. He is just as good as he is at run stopping. He's that bad in coverage. That's the problem.
He's not that bad.
He's pretty fucking bad, dude.
He's below average. Him and
Diablo are not great. They're not good even. They need to get better. That's a big part of our defensive issues is our linebacking coverage.
Is there anyone else we should look to trade? Is there anyone you want to trade right now?
Those are the two big ones. Those are the two big ones, yeah.
But so would you – so what would you trade Abram for?
If I got a five – if I got a five for Abram, I'd be fucking jazzed. I'd be fucking, like, pumped. Like, mm-hmm. fifth rounder, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, I think fifth. Because I think he's still good enough of a run stopper where, like, we could use him, right? If we're, yeah. you know, we still use him for this season. I'd want something. Farrell, you know,
seventh, the situation, get something like, for him.
Yeah, like, here's a seventh, give me a sixth type of thing.
Here's Farrell and a seventh, contract. Give me a sixth, yeah.
Fourth overall. Like, he's got a salary, man.
Well, the thing is, too, is we've got a couple extra sevens. Let me give you seven and Cleve for a six. Mm-hmm. And we just start, you know, slowly inching those picks up to higher picks, you know. Yeah. But, yeah, man, it's the thing is we have to take a look. We can't assess our roster by how connected we are to these players or how good they are for being on our team. We have to assess these players for across the NFL and how good are they across the NFL. And with the deficiencies that they have, they do have pluses. But with the minuses, it's late round picks, man.
Is there any players that we could acquire with our players, or is it all just kind of like, let's hoard some picks? It is kind of the Ziegler way, right? Hoard picks. So, like, getting actual players, not normally the case midseason.
We can flip some of those picks, package some of those picks together to get players. You know, we can wheel sure. and deal. I really like J.C. Horn as an option. Mm-hmm. He's a tough player. He's good in coverage. He plays man and zone really well. He can play up on the line of scrimmage. He's not afraid to tackle. So he's the type of player that you can turn into a star when you have a Hobbs there. When Averett mm-hmm. comes back, you have and then it makes Horn, Hobbs, Averett, Rock Ya-Sin, like those four. Like, okay, we got a little bit of a squad here, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that's just, we just need that other guy to step up, that other player. Right now we only got one, which is Hobbs. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is just guys.
So speaking of that defense, I was doing a little math, doing a little research.
It was tough.
Got up my TI-83 calculator, right? Looking some shit up. And it's kind of depressing. Let's take a hard look at our defense. So when Josh McDaniels and Patrick Graham came to the Raiders, these were the four things I thought they'd focus on. And I think, I don't remember, but I think we agreed that these would be the four priorities. If let me get through it. You tell me if it was something different or if you remember mm-hmm. differently. I thought we agreed on what we need to work on.
Okay.
Points per game. That's yep. the obvious one. That's the only stat that matters. right. Sacks. Mm-hmm. Need more sacks. Takeaways. Seemed like a very Patrick Graham thing. Mm-hmm. And the red zone defense was the worst red zone defense in football last season. So I thought, not that it's like Patrick Graham's specialty, but it's like he has to be thinking about that, right? This is like the, mm-hmm. what do you need to work on? Where they're the worst, the 32nd out of 32 in red zone defense. That's going to be something they're going to work on, right? So those are the four things that I thought would be their priority. Is that what you thought would be their priority?
Those are the things that we discussed, yes.
Okay. Anything else that you thought they'd really focus on? I mean, obviously everything, right?
Fundamentals
and stuff like that. But I thought, like, all right, the four, not stats, but like numerical elements that you can gauge would be those four things. Points per game, sacks, takeaways, red zone.
Yeah, I mean, third down conversion against is, it was something that we saw. I mean, there was no better example of how poor we did last year. Like as against the Chargers at the last game of the regular season, where they were just converting fourth down after fourth down after fourth down.
The third zone percentage is pretty good. We did a lot of third zone stops, but we gave up all the fourth down ones.
Fourth down ones were god awful, bro.
It was like one of our best third down performances ever. The problem is
we're stopping them all day every time. We kept converting the fourth.
If it was the Canadian Football League, we would have blown them out, right? Yeah, if it was three downs, we would have won by double digits. So I went and did the math on our five opponents so far: Chargers, Cardinals, Titans, Broncos, Chiefs. The offensive averages for those five teams, points per game, sacks given up per game, and giveaways per game. The averages of those five teams, and I compared them those numbers against the Raiders. And it's bad.
Yeah, I could see that.
Now, in some of these, in a lot of them, the numbers are close, but I think there's only one instance in those five games and in those three stats where the Raiders' defense performed better than the opponent's average. So,
and it wasn't by much.
And it wasn't by much. So the Chargers averaged 23.5 points per game. We gave up 24 against them. Loss. They give up 1.2 sacks per game, which is which is awesome. Like, that's a really good number. We got no sacks against them. They give away 0.8 giveaways per game. We got no takeaways. So that sacks was a big one. Got none. And so we were our defense performed worse than their average. Cardinals. Real bad. They averaged 19 points per game. They put up 29 on us. They averaged 2.3 sacks given up per game. We got one, less than half. This is a win for us. They average, they're pretty good about controlling the ball, about not giving the ball away. They average 0.8 giveaways per game, and we got that one interception. Ooh. So that was a little win there, right? But that points per game, they got 10 more against us than their average points per game.
That's tough.
Titans, 19.2 points per game. They put up 24 on us. Sacks, they give up 2.4 per game. We only got one. Giveaways, 1.2 per game. We got one. Real bad. Broncos, they average 15.2 points per game. That's last in the NFL. Worst offense in the NFL. 15.2 points per game. They put up 23 on us.
Hung to a deuce trade. Hung Michael still, Jordan on us.
We still won, but they got that was their season high in points was against us. It was a season high in points for the Cardinals as well.
The hell you say?
They give up 3.3 sacks per game, and we got three. So close, but still less. And they give up 1.2 takeaways per game. We got one turnover. Chiefs, they put up 29.8 points per game. That's the most points per game in the NFL. And we were pretty close. They put up 30 on us. So only 0.2 more.
Pretty
but
much
still.
The same shit. Same
pretty
shit.
Much the same. Now, this was a win for us. They only give up 1.8 sacks per game, and we got three.
Ooh.
So that was a good. That was a big win for us. Like Max Crosby.
That was our win. That was our.
That
win
was our.
Right
that
there.
Was our big statistical win. And they give up. They give up one takeaway per game, and we got zero. So in all those stats, it was either they crushed us or it was super super close. Minus Max Crosby had a good sack game against the Chiefs. So of those five teams: Chargers, Cardinals, Titans, Broncos, Chiefs. All their offenses performed above average in the three categories we thought were most important. Points per game, sacks, and giveaways, they all performed above average against the Raiders with like one minor exception. That's bad. And two of them put up their career, their season high in points against the Raiders. The Raiders are 28th in scoring defense, 22nd in yards per play allowed, and 29th in defensive total expected points added, all according to True Media, right? So those are the three of the four. Right, this isn't even the worst part of the defense, Soto. Like, we still haven't even gotten to the worst part of the defense.
I'm just sitting back waiting for it.
So, last year, the Raiders were last in red zone defense, giving up touchdowns. Opposing offenses, when they got into the red zone, they scored touchdowns 77% of the time. Over three out of four trips to the Raiders' red zone turned into a touchdown. Last in the NFL. So I thought, all right, Patrick Graham, Josh McDaniels, they're going to work on that. They're going to make it better. They're worse 82.35% of the time. An opposing offense goes into the Raiders' red zone. They score. They were last in the NFL last season at 77%. And they're last this season and it's 5% worse.
Yeah, tough.
Four things we thought that Patrick Graham, Josh McDaniels, and this coaching staff and team would focus on, they're worse at all four and atrocious. They managed to go from last to even worse last in red zone defense. There is a major problem brewing with this defense, Soto.
Yeah, there's a lot more problems that we're seeing.
Second worst is Detroit. At 68.
Yeah. There's a lot of problems brewing with this team, and it's just it does start with the defense. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, if you don't score touchdowns in the red zone and you give up too many scores in the red zone and you can't get teams off the field on third down, you're not going to win very many games, and we have it. So Patrick Graham runs a very specific system. That's what he likes. That's what he knows. And that's what he teaches. Mm-hmm. When you get a team full of players who weren't all that great to begin with, but were more better suited for a different scheme, you get those mixed match players like Jonathan Abram, like a Denzel Perryman. Like, those guys are not really fit for the defense that Patrick Graham runs. Mm-hmm. And you got to have some faith if you're Josh McDaniels and if you're Dave Ziegler, like, you have to have that faith that you know that Patrick Graham's going to get this done, and he's going to improve when you get the right players for his scheme. And it's not all about that, but we also talked about in the preseason about having those heady thinking players that can adjust to game plans week to week. That seems to be a little bit much for this team defense early on.
We thought we were getting, because you're going from Gus Bradley, who's probably the most bland's the wrong word, but the like just most probably the most basic defensive coordinator. Yeah, in the NFL. Like, there's probably no other defensive coordinator that's just like, this is what I do only than last season. Mm-hmm. And we thought we'd get opposite. We thought Patrick Graham's like, all right, he's a guy that, like, whatever you got, I can make it work. That's what he did in New York, right? They had basically two good corners and like one or two dudes on the line, and he cobbled together a pretty decent defensive scheme, and it was a defense that overperformed their talent. We thought, okay, that's what he'll do with the Raiders, right? We've got a couple potentially brewing stars, but not a lot of talent. Patrick Graham's the guy that can make this work. And he made it worse than Gus Bradley. The defense is playing. It improved. Like, Max Crosby is better. Chandler Jones is multiple Pro Bowler. Like, all of our young players are all one season better. It's on paper a better personnel than last season.
Let me say the one season better.
They should be one season better, right? And so, like, we did not get out of Patrick Graham what I thought. And you're right. Like, it's not a good defense personnel wise. But
it isn't. Gus
Bradley got more out of this defense than Patrick Graham. And that's real. This is the thing. At least with Gus Bradley, you knew what you were doing, right? And like, the Andy Reid's of the world will eat that apart. But at least with Patrick Graham, you're like, okay, keep everything in front of us. Down lineman, rush the passer. Don't give up big plays. We'll let offenses beat themselves. At least there was a philosophy that you can see that sometimes worked. With Patrick Graham, it's like, what is it? We're giving up big plays. Are we going to be like, okay, we're going to be, you know, a turnover-based team? We thought that would be a big part, right? We get all these takeaways. We're not. It's like, all right, Ben, don't break. Nope. We got even worse in the red zone. It's like, where is the strength of this defense? At least last year with Gus Bradley, like, we didn't give up big plays. We did not. People would pick us apart all day long, really good offenses, but we rarely gave up, you know, a run that went for 60 or a pass that went for 50. That was pretty rare. This one, it's like, where's the strength? It's either Max Crosby single-handedly ends the drive or the offense beats themselves. Like, that's when our defense is successful, right? Either the opposing offense fucks up, penalty, bad throw, misses a block, whatever, or Max Crosby puts on the cape and does Superman. That's it. That's the basis of our defense.
Yeah, well, the thing is, as bad as our defense has played, we have been in every game. They have been one-score games. We had the ball three times with the opportunity to win. Actually, no, in all, we had the ball with the opportunity to win the game every single time. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like it was out of reach and we scored later or whatever. We had the ball, driving, ability to win the game. So there is some it is bad. I'm not going to say that it's not. They're performing poorly. But in the scheme of each game, if you take a look at each game, we've been in each game And the outcome of the game hasn't been solely on the defense, but they do need to perform much better.
Like with the offense, I can point and see where the problems are and how to fix it, right? Complicated offense, it needs time. Offensive line, trash, got a scheme around it. Waller, Renfro keep getting hurt. They need to be healthy. Like I can see, okay, here's the problems with our offense and here's how it can improve. And here's how we can make up for it while we're waiting, right? Oh, all this shit's not working out. Run the ball more. Oh, you know, Waller's missing, you know, they're going to double, Waller's missing all these games. Let's go to Mac Hollins because they're doubling Hunter and Devontae, right? Like there's like, okay, plan A is not working. B and C are working. Here's how we improve in the future. I can see the path to success for the offense. I don't know what that is for the defense. I don't know if it's like, oh, we just need a corner and we'll turn it around. Oh, we just need to get healthy and we'll turn it around. Like, oh, we just need the turnovers to go our way. Which I'm like, I don't know what I know what the offense needs to do. Mm-hmm. I have no clue how to fix this defense because there's nothing to build on. There's no, like, the fundamentals are bad. Like, it's not even like a good fundamental team. It's not a team that like lives and dies by turnovers. Like, there's no one strength. It's just sometimes, basically Max Crosby's playing like a defensive player of the year nominee.
Yeah.
And he's not going to get it because great defensive players don't get that award on bad defenses. Like this defense is going to rob Max Crosby a defensive player of the year award.
So let me ask you a question. Who are the five best players on our offense?
Devontae. Well, okay. In general or this season? Like, do you count Waller?
No, this season. In general. Putting together your team.
Career.
Yes.
Waller, Hunter, Jacobs, Devontae, Carr.
Okay, those are five. Who are your five best players in your defense?
Max.
Exactly. You don't have the talent, RJ. There's no talent there. That's the main issue. We could shit on Patrick Graham all we want. Making chicken salad out of chicken shit is a saying. You have to have talent. Every great coach who's out there will tell you, you win with talent. You coach that talent up, you put them in the positions, but Bill Belichick ain't going into playoffs with that 0-16 Browns team or the 0-16 Lions team. You gotta have talent.
How much does it bother you? Like, how much blame should be on Patrick Graham that Gus Bradley fielded a better defense than Patrick Graham with less talent? I don't think this year's that much more talented than last season, but I think it's more talented. Like all the Hobbs is better, Max is better. It's not way better than last season. It's better than the personnel is better than last season, and the defense as a whole is worse. That should concern you about Patrick Graham. And again, same thing with Josh McDaniels. I'm not saying fire him, right? It's five games, right? We're playing the long game with this new coaching staff. But in this five games,
not great.
He is getting less out of a more talented defense than Gus Bradley did. So you're right. Need more talent, unquestionably, and we know exactly where. But he's like Patrick Graham's supposed to be the guy that he can take spare parts and still build a machine like he did in New York. And so far he ain't.
Those spare parts got to fit, man. That's a great analogy that you use, spare parts. They have to fit the engine that you're building. And a lot of these pieces just don't fit. So what I think the mistake was offensively and defensively was we expected too much out of these players to play a specific way when we can't play that way. We found out the last couple games before the
that's the cops coming to arrest Patrick Graham.
Yeah, for right.
Us for the defense.
The last couple Long Beach. Of weeks. Yeah, welcome to Long Beach, baby. the last couple weeks, we've relied heavily on our run game. We've taken shots when they were there, and we've limited our exposure to turnover. We limited our exposure to negative plays, which is sacks. We don't throw the ball that much. We throw the ball shorter. We take the shots when the opportunity presents itself. We don't scheme those shots. They're there when the when the matchup is there, right? But you want to run and work your offense behind your running game. I think we have to do that defensively too. We have to identify where we're best, and we have to. And I think that's what's going to happen going forward. Is
where are we best? Because I'm down to be like, so like, you know, when you look at the only undefeated college football team in Los Angeles, the UCLA Bruins, because the Trojans lost. Their defensive scheme is like, all right, we're going to be crazy on offense, and we're going to get turnovers. Like they give up a lot of yards, a lot of rush yards, a lot of pass yards.
A lot of points.
They get turnovers. But they get turnovers. A lot of points, right? But they get turnovers. And like that's kind of like that's like, all right, our defense isn't great, but we're gonna focus in on something that's gonna be our core. And we're gonna get turnovers. And they do, and they're undefeated, and it's awesome, right? The Raiders, it's like, what are we pushing all our chips into? It's like, all right, we're gonna force everybody to pass because our run defense is so good. Oh, we're gonna give up a ton of yards in between the 20s, but our red zone defense is so good, we're gonna bend not break. It's like, where is that? Like, where are we gonna force the opposing offense to pivot? We don't have a single thing. It's scheme around Max. That's it. Like that's all offensive coordinators have to worry about.
Let's start from the secondary end. Okay. Our secondary is god awful in zone coverage. I think we can agree on that. I think we're always like, why are we so soft? Like, why are we playing such soft coverage here? Why are these teams just digging and dunking down the field and going down the field on us, right? Like, fucking Tannehill was looking like, you said, Joe Montana, fucking hitting like a 5-6 yard fucking shot, every shot, finding the hole in the zone coverage. We're not the best at that. We have to play more man coverage with the players that we have. The problem is you have a player like Jonathan Abrams, who doesn't play really well in man coverage. You have a player like Trevon Merrick, who he's better as a center fielder than playing man coverage. And you have two linebackers like Diablo and Perriman who aren't great at man coverage. So you have to fix scheme around something where you play kind of a hybrid scheme. And that's where the self-scouting comes into play. We have to be tighter on the outsides, and we have to play more of a zone shell across the middle. I've seen teams do that against us. I've seen teams do that against the Chiefs. So that's what we have to do. And up front, we just got to pin our ears back and go and not worry about, we'll tackle the runner on the way to the quarterback. Unfortunately, playing the way we're playing now, we're the worst team in the league giving up points. Like we can't play that way anymore. We have to be more aggressive. When we started blitzing more against the Chiefs is when we got more stops early in the game and then late in the game. People want to say, oh, you didn't get stops against the Chiefs. Well, your defense got to stop them. Well, we got a 3-score lead. We had to stop them sometime. We had to get we failed on a 2-point conversion, and then we had the ball back with a chance to win the game. Guess what that means? That means we got a fucking stop, right?
Yeah.
And so we have to play to our strengths, which is aggressive attacking defense. Why did they change the fucking rules in the NFL? Because of the fucking Raiders secondary. They were in your pocket. They were fucking in your jock. They didn't let you breathe. They
punching you in the
beat
throat.
The shit out of you. They clotheslined you over the middle. Like, we have to be that within the confines of the rules, of course. But we have to get back to that style of defense. And if they fucking beat us deep, then fuck it. They beat us deep. At least we get the ball back with more time to score.
The only thing saving this defense is the Raiders offense. The Raiders are 6th in points per game. And they're doing it now with ball control and just basically like, all right, our offensive line can't pass block. Our passing game isn't jiving. Waller can't stay healthy. Hunter can't stop getting concussions. Let's run the ball. And it's getting us points and it's keeping the defense off the field.
Yeah.
That's basically how I look at it. Yeah. You just got to keep this defense off the field. Pray that Carlson can just keep cranking out 50 yarders, right? Get within field goal range and play that style of football, because this defense, like I said at the very beginning, I know the path to success for this offense. I can see it. Everyone can see it. You don't have to be a super genius to know like, oh, it needs time to develop. And this offensive line's got to gel. Like, okay, we got it. Defense. It's like, maybe your idea is right. I don't know. Like I see no path this defense being successful. The offense has to protect it. And so far they have 6 points per game, and that time of possession is going to be big. Like that's.
Look, with my severely concussed brain, I don't know how many freaking concussions I've had in my life. Quite a few, and pretty bad ones too.
Mostly from banging your head against the wall watching the Raiders play on Sundays.
Yeah. Yeah. You know why? You know, do you have rheumatoid arthritis? You know how I know I have that? Or ulcerative colitis? It's because I'm a freaking Raider fan. That's how I know I have colitis. Okay. If my brain could come up with something like on the fly, if that's your job, you can come up with something to be more. We can't be afraid to give up big plays because we have to pressure and be aggressive to get more turnovers. We have to.
Yeah.
That's the way that the way we play offense, the best way for us to put pressure on the opposing offense is to score more points, right? And that's to get stops. We can't always rely on having them on stopping them to have them punt. We have to create turnovers because teams have shown they can sustain drives against us. So we have to, you know, we have to either give ourselves more opportunities to score points, which is lengthen the game a little bit, which is if they score quicker, all right, whatever. That means we got to score. Let's go. Or stop them, take the ball away. Because this whole thing, just have them matriculate the ball down the field and score anyway, it's putting more pressure on our offense to score every single time they have the ball.
It's insane how we're sixth in points per game with how offenses can just move the ball at will against us and just like take their time. Like it's a minor miracle that's the case. Well, one team that you can use to turn everything around is those beautiful Houston Texans. Raiders God Texans going down on Sunday. We'll be doing a post-game show. It'll be you and Rory. I'll be traveling from Abu Dhabi. So it'll be you and Rory handling.
Is Rory confirmed for that?
No, but we'll peer pressure his English ass.
Get in there, motherfucker.
Both teams 1-4. Both teams coming off of a bye. Devontae Adams will play with his legal issues for the love tap that he gave that cameraman.
Yeah, the NFL said they weren't going to do any discipline until after the legal proceedings have been concluded.
Mm-hmm. Darren Waller, the only real injury issue. He may still play, but I think he was limited today.
I think they're just taking it easy. I think he'll be fine for the game.
Let's hope so, because we thought that last time too, right? And anyway,
the last year when he had that freaking
last game. Yeah, he played six games.
Well, that's when he hurt it.
Well, it's been the hamstring forever. You know what I mean? Like it's been a hamstring all season. Now is it the same one, different one? Anyway, Waller was the only guy that didn't take part in practice on Wednesday. Foster Moreau limited, Matt Collins limited, Jayon Brown limited. So hopefully all four will play.
Averett back is big, man. I like having Averett back.
Yeah, so we lost Hobbs to IR, broken hand. The good news is, like, if you have to go on IR, broken hand is probably the best one because it's just a tiny little bone in your hand that heals and you play. It's not like a tendon or a muscle or something that, like, you know, yeah. You got to.
That was what Averett was dealing with.
Averett had a broken thumb, yeah. So Averett's back, Hobbs is out, which is, well, you know, at least we – traded one for another corner, right? I think the big thing here is what kind of response will the Raiders have, right? Went 1-4. The potential for morale to be at an all-time low and people pointing the fingers, blaming each other, giving up on the season. That's, you know, an environment where that can be a thing. We'll see what this response is. On Sunday, is this going to be guys banding together when their backs are against the wall and they play that same way? Or is this the game where everyone starts pointing each other's fingers and just want to get theirs as the season goes down the toilet? If you had to pick one team in the NFL to bounce back against, it'd probably be the Houston Texans.
Look, we're playing a lot of those teams. Okay. We're playing Houston. We're playing the Jaguars. Okay. Who else are we playing next? We're playing the Broncos coming up soon again. We're not playing great teams coming up, guys. So we have the potential to go to rip off four or five wins. So how they bounce back and how they bounce back from if they see any adversity, you know, a turnover or a bad call by a ref or God forbid a fucking another drop touchdown, shit like that. Like how do you come back from that when normally that would break lesser teams? How do they respond and how do they keep pushing forward? Because ultimately you have to ask yourself this. If this team breaks down, and basically, like you said, just starts going in for themselves. How quickly do you just say fuck this bullshit and start building for the future? Mm-hmm. You know, because ultimately, look at the fucking Jets right now. Okay, look at what they're doing. They're building a team that's young, that's got good players on them, and who's on the uptick. Do we have the ability to be something like that with the players that we have currently? Get these young players to play better. We have mixed in those veterans that are, you know, a superstar player and some other guys around them, some star players. How do we respond to this adversity? What do we need to do? Because ultimately, that's the question we have to ask ourselves. And that's not a great question to ask. It's never fun to ask. But if you see it with your own eyes that the team that you put together is starting to kind of play like they're in it for themselves, you got to cut that head off of that snake and move forward.
You know how you keep that from happening? You run Josh Jacobs. Yeah. 5.4 yards exactly. per carry. Almost 100 yards per game. This season, Texans run D is trash. They give up 5.1 yards per carry, the 28th in football, and 168 yards per game. That's 30th.
I see a lot of usage today. A lot of usage by running backs today, not just Jacobs, but a lot of other guys too. Zeus, you know, he had a big conversion on a toss against the Broncos for like 19 yards. He looked really quick, fast, powerful during that run. This is the type of game where you can feast, you can really build a lot of confidence in your offensive line. You can build a lot of confidence in different formations and schemes that you're using. I mean, I love the tackle eligible that we've been using because Darren Waller can't fucking block. He ain't out there. You know, Foster Moreau ain't the best blocker out in the world, you know.
Well, and he was hurt. He was hurt 2 weeks ago, right? Yeah.
So, you know, that tackle eligible, that's a big play for us. And I honestly feel like if we take control of this game and we just fucking just squeeze that fucking chicken neck and just don't let them fucking come back, it'll be a big building block for a lot of parts of our team.
Choke our chicken.
Exactly. See, you got it. Yeah, so we have to make sure that we just, when we get our hands around that throat, we kill them. We kill them and we just keep pounding them into the dirt. Because look, mentally, we know that our defense needs a little bit of help, okay? So we can't settle for threes. We got to get sevens. We have to push the ball. We have to not settle, not change our offensive game plan because still stay aggressive. Stay aggressive and keep pushing forward because we know that we need to build confidence. And how do you do that? By seeing success. By actually viewing and seeing, hey, the stuff that the coach is telling us is starting to work. We can see the fruits of our labor, right? Build that confidence for the offensive line by running the ball. Okay. Be the bullies, right?
Yeah.
Get our guys in the backfield. Break up some passes. Get aggressive, right? That's what players like to play. And players like to be aggressive. Let them go out there and be aggressive. Let their athletic ability shine.
It's always the case, right? Where you want to jump out to a big lead. Like, it's always like, I always laugh when like analysts before a game are like, get off to a lead early. It's like, oh, yeah, no fucking shit. Like, yeah, okay, score a lot of points and don't let them. Brilliant analysis. But this one is, you know, kind of along those lines because Houston's quarterback, David Mills, is hot garbage. Just awful. All he has is Brandon Cooks. That's it. And he can't do anything.
Yeah, that's really all he has.
He is atrocious. So if we get up 14-0 and we just ran the ball, moved the ball, right? And we get up 14, let's say we get, you know, if we win the coin flip, we get the ball first, we score. And we start getting them into passing downs. We start getting them into like having to catch up. That's when we start sniffing like blowout. Like if David Mills has to take this game and put it on his shoulders, we won. Like
that's when we pin our ears back and get moving. Yeah,
we're talking blowout, right? So, I mean, it's weird. Like it's, you know, the thing I was making fun of. It's like, yeah, like a lead here is so. I know we've blown a 17-point lead and a 14-point lead already this season, but like if David Mills can overcome those deficits, then you know that we're like, all right, this season's over. Like this, like we are done this season. Let's start thinking about 2023. Like, because there's no way in hell, even this defense and these DBs, David Mills should be like beating us ever.
Yeah. If David Mills starts whipping the ball around the field, like he's goddamn fucking Johnny Unitas, so we're in big fucking trouble.
And this is your kind of offense, because the Texans passing D is actually not that bad. It's actually pretty good. Like, they got a good pass rush. The Raiders have one of the worst pressure rates in football. Like, we give up so many pressures. And they hit on a couple rookie DBs.
Well, yeah, the secondary is good.
They hit on some young guys that are going to be a cornerstone of that defense for a while to come. So, it's pretty obvious, man. Like, their run defense is trash. Our running offense has been doing great. Their passing defense is above average. The strength of their team, their passing defense of everything, it's the strength of their team. I'm really looking forward to Derek Stingley covering Davante Adams. I think they're gonna be like, all right, Stingley, you got Davante one-on-one. Let's see what you can do.
That's not a good idea for them.
I think
Davante is too crafty, too smart to do that.
I think they're going to, though.
If they do, that's great for us.
Yeah.
Dude, double coverage against the best safety and corner that Kansas City has, and he fucking beat them both.
I think they're gonna have to, because you have to assume that they know the Raiders are gonna run the ball, right? They're gonna have to load up that box with seven players. Like, they have to, right? I mean, it'd be stupid, right? If they're in like nickel and like bracketing everybody. That'd be dumb, right? Like, unless it's an obvious passing down, first downs. Are they bracketing Waller and Davante and having six in the box?
Look, I mean, that's what we hope for. I wouldn't necessarily say right now you need to bracket Waller. I would say, okay, well, let's see if he can do it. Let's see if he can. He hasn't shown us he can do it this year. Let's see if he can actually get that done. And I would bracket Adams if I was the Texans. But if they go one-on-one, if they give him one-on-one, he's going to be able to beat anybody on their team. You don't cover Davante Adams one-on-one. You just don't do it.
And that's why you got him, right? Now it's pick your poison.
Yeah,
that safety is either coming down into the box to stop the run that you know is coming, or he's cheating over and going deep and helping cover Davante. And then you just do the other one. Right.
Whatever they give you, you do the opposite.
That should be fundamentally simple, you know, more complex than that, but that should be the foundation offensively. This
doesn't have to be more complex than that. It really doesn't.
Yeah. Ready to do some what up windbags?
Yes, sir.
Young or John Youngerman. He's talking about Josh Jacobs and how we talked about, like, what do we do with him? Pay him all this money, let him finish the season and walk or trade him. He said, way too early to be having this conversation. After week 14, okay. But now, Raider Nation for life, peace. And this is why we brought it up last show. The trade deadline's November 1st, right?
Yeah.
Like, that has to be one of the options. And I'm not saying – last year I was saying trade Josh. This year I'm not, because he's such a big part of our offense and I'm not giving up on this season. I'm not saying that's what has to happen. If it does, for the right deal, I would understand it. I'm not saying it has to happen, but after November 1st, it's not even an option. That's it. Now you're down to pay him a shit ton of money in free agency because he's a free agent, or we let him walk. Like, those, we're down to two options. So yeah, the reason we had this conversation last week is because it's an option. I'm not saying use the option, but if you wait till week 14, it's not even an option. You can't trade him.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, look, right now, it's not something that we should look into. Really, really just shouldn't. Our offense has to be built around Jacobs and his production. Mm-hmm. If you feel like that is your best move moving forward, and you stop looking at this season so much as, we want to win this year and see how far we can go, and we switch it up to, let's figure out who's going to be the best players to build with. And once you get to that situation, then you can talk about moving them. But for right now, we have a couple of weeks left, but that's only two games. So
Raider Nympho 222.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a Nympho that's a Raider fan, or is he a Nympho for Raider players? I wonder what Raider, we'll have to,
or Raider hosts.
Raider maybe. Podcast. Potentially, right? Based on the guy to girl ratio of our viewers, I don't know if that's applicable, but you never know. Derek Carr plays a lot of heart at times, but he has no brains. He doesn't have smarts to see the field, to read defenses. We need a new quarterback. I would say when it comes to brains, that's the – you can point to a lot of errors in Derek Carr. Brains? Reading defenses? That's like his two best things.
Okay. Pre-snap. Mucho brains. Mucho brains. Post-snap, not as much. We have seen, and I think even the staunchest backer of our quarterback can admit that he locks onto his primary receiver far too often. He doesn't go through his progressions as well. He's more of a lock in on the main guy check down. He's gotten better at it, but he still does it far too often for someone who has been in the league that long. Mm-hmm. That was the deal coming out of college for him. The way the offense was set up, he only read a third of the field. Very much so like a running quarterback in college, but it was a passing offense. It was brilliant, honestly, the way they drew it up. But that has translated to the pros. So do I say he has no heart and no brains? No, he's not the freaking Tin Man and the Lion. Okay, that's not who he is. But he does have some things that you do need to coach around and put him in those positions where, hey, if I have play action, I don't have to read the entire fucking field. I can't set him back in shotgun every single play and have him kind of look around. And that's not what he's going to do. You have to be prepared for that. So I feel like what we're doing now is much more suited to his strengths and his weaknesses, because he can take shots down the field. He can key in on certain players because of the offense that we're running. And also we keep the progressions shorter, much, much smaller.
Boogies Moolah B. This has been my opinion since week one. All caps. Davante Adams is not a loser. Thanks for clearing that up. He's the only guy on our team that's not happy after a loss. Our quarterback and head coach will be all smiles and laughs after a loss, like they're content with being losers. When have our quarterback and head coach ever been smiles and laughs after a loss? Well, first off, it's been a big part of Josh McDaniels' philosophy that you never get too high after a win and too low after a loss, which I think there's a place for that. I think, you know, it's an emotional game, and I think players being themselves is a big part of it. But I do understand the philosophy of you can't wallow in a loss. Like, you got to be a pro, right? Like, you don't wallow in the emotion of a performance. You wallow in the tape and getting better.
Yeah.
After a performance. Like, that's what you wallow in. You're like, all right, we got our asses kicked. You're not crying. You're like, let's get in that film room. Let's get on that practice field and find out why we lost. Find out where I fucked up. That's what you wallow in. You wallow in the process of improving and getting better. You don't wallow in the emotions. My wrestling coach always said it best. He's like after a big win, after, you know, you have that night, right? You have a tournament on Saturday. If you got first place, you won the tournament, you celebrate that night and that's it. Next day, you're back on your diet, back to cardio, back to whatever you're doing. You celebrate that one night, and you're moving on to the next one. You perform terribly that day, right? You got your ass kicked on Saturday. You cry. You have your little pity party one night.
Get it out.
And then you're off. And then it's back. And it's back to business. It's starting to improve. So, like, with Devontae, you saw, especially after that Chiefs game, throwing his helmet, pushing the cameraman, fucking furious. With Devontae, it stops there, though. It's like, I'm furious right after the game. I'm so pissed. Right to his iPad, right to the practice field, working on what went wrong. Yeah. That I like. That's awesome. And again, like Derek Carr, that's not him. He's not going to be super emotional. It's just like straight to the X's and O's and getting better. Josh McDaniels, that's his entire philosophy. He's like, he's a Belichick guy. It's like, you have no emotions, right? You're
robot.
You're a cyborg. You're a robot, right? It's like no emotions. Like, let's just get to work. Let's just work on the process. So I think the Raiders have a good system of letting emotional guys be emotional in their emotional window and letting their non-emotional guys be themselves and then move on. I feel like that's the tone of this locker room in this team.
Yeah. So I have a fighter that fought about a month ago, and the fight before this fight that he had, he knocked the guy out in the third round. This last fight, he had a really bad cut, man, and he just was not there.
Weight cut.
And a really bad weight cut, and yeah. he ended up getting knocked out in the first round. And I told him the same thing I told him after he knocked the dude out is the same thing I told him after he got knocked out. Let the emotions come. Let the emotions take over. Mm. Let them take over. Let them do what they're supposed to do. Tomorrow morning, wake up and get back with the program. And that's what he wasn't cleared because he got cut. He wasn't cleared to fight for a while or contact even. So he was back Monday. He was back Monday thanking everybody for supporting him and apologizing for the loss. Like, you know, as a teammate, you don't have to apologize for a result. Like, it is what it is. You went out there and did your best. But, when we told him that. But, you know, as somebody who's fought out there, you're like, fuck, I felt like I let everybody down and this and that.
Yeah.
That's how it is. You put everything out. These guys are putting everything. This is a combat sport, guys. These guys are out there fighting. So, well, they're putting it all on the line, and they're getting paid handsomely for it, but they're giving up a lot for it. So let their emotions run through. Let the process run through. And you could tell the professionals because they have that, like you said, the emotional window is small. Mm. Okay, it's over with. Nothing I can do now could help me, like dwelling on that can't help me moving forward. I have to cut this off and now I have to learn from what happened.
All right. Well, that's it for us. Like I said, I will not be doing the post game. We will be doing a post game show. I will not be involved. I'll be in transit flying back from Abu Dhabi. So Soto and potentially Rory will get you there.
I may WhatsApp you. I may WhatsApp you during the show.
We'll see. We'll see where I'm at. But yeah, I hope you guys watch the fights on Saturday. UFC 280 is awesome. And then games on Sunday. We're back in the swing of things. Bye week is over. Now it's the home stretch, right? Every weekend games up through January. Trying to get back in that playoff picture. We're still only like 33% shot at playoffs. Like, that's super doable. That's super manageable.
Yeah, it's still early in the season. We still got 11 weeks
left. I feel more confident right this second that we can make the playoffs than I did last year when we were 6-7. After the Chiefs just hogtied and raped us, I was like, all right, season's over. Burn everything to the ground. Salt the earth so nothing grows again. It's like, we're done. And we made it. I'm way more confident now than I was then. For whatever it's worth.
Well, we'll see. We'll all find out.
We'll be there. Until then,
knock on wood if you're with me.